This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Just copy of the Quran. Copy of the Quran. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى teach us what benefit us from what He taught us and increase us in knowledge. آمين يا رب العالمين. I ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى to put barakah in this gathering inshallah and make us from the people at the end of the gathering. They will be told, قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ. Get up, all your sins are forgiven. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So, inshallah ta'ala, we started discussing and explaining the story of Surah Yusuf, alayhi salam, and we finished a couple of few ayahs, and then we ended by explaining the last ayah, the first page, إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. When Yusuf عليه السلام narrated the vision, the ru'ya that he saw, we explained the different levels of ru'ya. We explained that there is nothing called dream interpretation study, science, that you cannot go to college and tell them, listen, I want a master in dream interpretation. There's nothing like that. This is a fatih from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closer you are to Allah, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the ability to be able to interpret dreams. But don't go to people and tell you, you know what, I heard something, let me explain to you. You know, sometimes, you know, one thing in one culture could mean something completely different in another culture, right? Like, for example, you say, I saw a black cat, you know, in my dream. What does that mean? So, in the Middle East, in our, there's nothing wrong here. Black cat, don't leave the house. So, you know, that's why there's nothing called dream interpretation, except whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with this ability to tell you the dreams. The only ones who could really tell you the dreams 100% are the Anbiya, are the prophets. Now, we explained also, subhanAllah, how does a seven-year-old come to his father and tell him his dream? And we said that we should establish a great relationship with our family members, especially with our young kids, so they could be open with us and communicate their whatever they're feeling to us, better than going to a stranger that will give them the wrong advice. And look at this, subhanAllah. There's something very important here. Like we said before, that Yusuf alayhi salam, most of the ulama said that he was seven at that time of the dream. Now, Yaqub alayhi salam, a prophet, he did not say, 7 year old saw something. Yes, it's okay, leave me alone, you know, go away. Sah, if your son comes and tells you, I saw a dream, and he's 6, 7 years old, you're not going to sit down and listen and record it in a book, the best book ever. Subhanallah. So look at this. The attention that the father gave, even though the child was still little, he gave them the attention and listened and concentrated about and listened to his ru'ya that he saw. Subhanallah. So after that, we finished up to here. Now we started the new ayah.
قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين.
So a prophet is telling a prophet. He was not a prophet at the time, but Yaqub alayhi salam is telling Yusuf, do not narrate your dream, your ru'ya, to your brothers, because they will plot against you. And no matter how much we try to translate yakidu laka kaida, it will not be exactly like the Arabic language. They will plot for you a plotting. Doesn't sound right. But here, the repetition of the same, of the verb and the noun together, it shows ta'keed, that definitely they are going to plot against you. Okay, now we're going to probably spend this whole night explaining this ayah. First, لا تقصص قصة. قصة in Arabic is narrate, and also it means something else. What else? What? No. Excellent. Where? Which surah? Surah Al-Qasas. The mother of Musa alayhi salam told her daughter. What did she say? Qussi, right? What does Qussi mean? Go look for something until you find it. Okay? Now look at this. Look at the Arabic, subhanAllah. Now, a father talking to a seven-year-old. He did not say, لا تقص. Because he's young, he said, لا تقصص. He spread it out, the صاد. Any letter with a shadda is two letters, right? إن. Two letters. تقصص. He could have said, لا تقص. لا تقصص. He spread it because he's a young kid, so he could understand. That means, do not tell the whole story till the end. قصة. When you're doing qasas to something, that means you're telling the story from the beginning to the end. Go qussi, go find him till you, go look for him till you find him. Okay? لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيد لك كيدا. There are so many lessons that we learn from this ayah. Number one, it is allowed to warn one of the kids, of your kids, against the others if you feel that there might be some danger coming from the other kids. You are the father, right? You are the father. You are the most person who know your children. If you feel that some of these children might harm one of the children or other children, you are allowed to warn them against them. And this is the dalil. This is the evidence. Okay? That's number one. Ya Akhwan, we mentioned that before, but I'll mention it again because it's extremely important and it's widely spread lately. And that is, our homes became naked. Our homes became naked. What does that mean? That means everybody knows everything about us. Huh? With the social media, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, and all the stuff, now everybody knows everything about everyone. Be very careful, Ya Akhwan. These are brothers of a prophet. They envied their brother. The father told him not to tell the story, not to tell the dream. Listen carefully. He told him not to tell the dream, and they did what they did. Can you imagine if he told them the dream? He did not even tell them, right? He did not tell them. And they plotted to a level just less than killing. First was killing. اختلو يوسف, right? And this way they did not know about the dream. Can you imagine if they knew about the dream? What does that mean? Ya Akhwan, stop this posting of everything that happens. Oh, we just came back from Dubai. This is my picture. My husband just bought me. It's just, alhamdulillah, he got the bag on sale. It was only $750. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, he got a $750 bag. And look at the shoes. And we just, look at my kids with the Eid clothes. Alhamdulillah. I just came back from Umrah. This is my selfie with the Kaaba. You know, all this, everything I do is on Facebook. Everything. Now, Facebook is a public place. Anyone could see anything. One of the people who are watching these things is someone who does not like you. Or someone that does not want the khair for you. Or someone who's deprived from everything. He just lost his job. Huh? He just lost his job. He's behind in his rent. He just fought with his wife. And he opened Facebook, and you see, look what my husband just bought me. We just came back from a vacation. This is my new car. This is my ring. This is my this. This is my that. My son. Everything is on Facebook. How does this person feel? But brother, Allah told us, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. MashaAllah. The brother has a dalil right away. Huh? Allah said, whatever Allah blessed you with the ni'mah, show it. No. This is not what the ayah means. What the ayah means, whatever Allah blessed you with, show it by how? By spending. By spending from it. He gave you ilm, spend from that ilm. He gave you wealth, support the orphans, the poor, the widows, the needy, the masajid. This is how you show it. Not you go show off with it. Look at me, look at what I got, look what I did, look what I... No, this is not what the ayah means. You're misinterpreting the ayah. So this is very dangerous, Ya Akhwan. From this ayah, we have to be very careful of what we post, what we tell the people. Al-aynu haqq. Al-ayn haqq. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, al-ayn, the evil eye, is haqq. And in a hadith, the most thing that kill people after qadr is al-ayn. And the hadith, listen to this hadith. Inshallah, I'll find it quickly. Hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahl bin Hunayf, ra'a Amir bin Rabi'a, Sahl bin Hunayf yagtasil. Amir saw Sahl showering in the public. فَقَالَ مَا رَأَيْتُ الْيَوْمَ مَا رَأَيْتُ كَالْيَوْمِ وَلَا جِلْدٍ مُخَبَّأَةٍ. He was praising how beautiful the skin, how white and clean and clear and soft, whatever, the skin of Sahl. Sahl dropped in his spot. He dropped, he fell. It was brought up to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He killed his brother. Go and let him make wudu. Make him make wudu and take that water and pour it on Sahl. They did, and bi fadlillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sahl got up and he was cured from the hasad. If something like this happened to you, this is the procedure to get rid of the evil eye. Now, of course, it's very hard, number one, to know the person who did that to you, so you could ask him. Number two, is so hard to ask them. Please, Habibi, Allah khalik, go shower a little bit and give us some of your water, because I think you have done the evil eye. It's, subhanAllah, very hard. I mentioned the story before. One brother was praying in the masjid. He prays in the masjid always in the first rows. And a guy came and he told him, without any mashallah, without anything, he said, 70 years old and you're still standing? He said, instantly I dropped my back, clip. Ya akhwan, this is not jokes. There are some people who are envious, and be very careful. That's why Rasulullah said, be careful who enters your home. Not everybody, yalla, yalla. Be very careful who enters your home. So he said, I dropped. And I know the hadith of Rasulullah, but how can I tell the guy, give me a wudu and this and that? So next time I said, I hope I see him. He said, next day, a few days later, I came, my back is killing me, I can't move. I saw him in the masjid, said, Allahu Akbar. I said, Habibi, you are invited for lunch in my house. He invited him over his house. Now how he's going to tell him? He came with him to the home. And how he's going to tell him? Very hard. So he served him soup and this. And he said, like, Ya Allah, how am I going to tell him? All of a sudden, he dropped the soup on his clothes. Said, I'll wash it when I go home. Said, no, I'll wash it for you now. Because you could take something from the athar of the person. It will work also. So he said, no, I'll wash it for you now. I'll give you a brand new thawb. So he gave him a new thawb and his wife washed the thawb. Okay, and took the water from the thawb. He said, wallahi, after he left, I poured the water from the thawb. I went back, my back is gone. My back is clear. Because it's a prescription from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From Rasulullah, ya akhwan, subhanallah. So, be very careful of what you post and what you do. This is ayn, ya akhwan. Ayn is haqq. The ayn is real. And when you see something, if it's yours, because sometimes somebody could envy his own child. MashaAllah. La quwwata illa billah. But when I see something, I go to visit Brother Akmam's house, Brother Juma, Brother Khalid's house. I go, I see something beautiful. Okay? What do I say? This is a very common mistake. No, mashallah. What do we do? Fad'u li akhikum bil barakah. Everybody say, mashallah. Mashallah is you have something yours. Because it says in Surah Al Baqarah, what's the ayah? فَإِذَا وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتُ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ. You say, when you see your Jannah, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ إِنْ تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. But when I see somebody else, I make dua of barakah. Allahumma barik lahu fi hadha al-bayt. Allahumma barik lahu fi ahli. Allahumma barik lahu. Barak Allahu fiik. Barak Allahu. You make dua of barakah. This is the hadith. فَادْعُوا لِأَخِيكُمْ بِالْبَرَكَةِ. Make dua of barakah to your brother. Okay? Now, one more lesson. The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam are sons of a prophet. Right? What's the lesson here? Salah al-awlad, the awlad being salihin, does not necessarily mean that the father is salih. And the father being salih does not necessarily indicate immediately, instantly, that the kids have to be salihin. These are the kids of a prophet plotting to kill their brother. That means, if you see someone who is righteous, alhamdulillah, We hope, inshallah, that all his progeny will be righteous. But that does not mean, oh, look at this, Sheikh Ba'jour, look at his son is doing this. Inshallah, my kids will be very righteous, and all our kids, inshallah. But that does not mean that because he's my son, he has to be righteous. The son of Nuh is in hell. In hell. And we have no doubt in our heart that he did his best. But some people abuse this story. When you speak to brother, brother, Habibi, take care of your son, raise him. Ya akhi, Nuh's son is in hell. They use it the wrong way, the story. Did you try your best? Did you try your best? Taught him the deen, surrounded him with the right people, and then you give the example of Nuh. Nuh alayhi salam did not leave anything he did not do for his community. How about his family? So Salah al-awlad, the kids being righteous, sometimes you have very good righteous kids and the father is not. And sometimes the other way around, and this is one of the best dalil about that. Another lesson is, subhanAllah, sometimes you get the most harm from the closest people to you. Right? You're trying to avoid everybody and turned out that your brothers are plotting for you. Your own blood brothers, subhanAllah. And we've seen that a lot, unfortunately. When it comes to inheritance, when it comes to anything, subhanAllah, you see a lot of problems happen. The closest people to you, they become the worst people to you, to your affairs. Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother Binyamin are two. And the other brothers are 11, right? Okay? 10. What is the lesson? Don't be fooled by the majority. Not always the majority means everything. Oh, the majority of the people are doing this. That means it's good. The majority of people are doing that. That means it's good. No. As a matter of fact, if you look at the survey in the Quran, every aktharuhum, after it's something bad. Aktharuhum la yu'minun. Aktharuhum la yashkurun. Aktharuhum la ya'qilun. The majority of people are away from the deen. They do not thank Allah. They are not believers. So, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. The qaleel are, subhanAllah, are the ones who are successful. Yusuf, alayhi salam, so told his father that, Ya Abi, my father, I saw 11 planets, stars, and the sun and the moon. How did you see them? I saw them making sujood. Yani, as if he saw them the first time, he saw in his dream 11 stars and the sun and the moon. And then he saw them again, they're making sujood to him. Now how come the father did not envy him about this dream? The father will never envy his son. Never. SubhanAllah. Never. They always want the best for the children. Always. Always. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us, I warn you against having jealousy. Jealousy eats up your good deeds just like the fire eats wood. Jealousy eats up good deeds just like the fire eats the wood. But jealousy is a feeling, and I thought we are not responsible about feelings. Right? Jealousy is a feeling. Yeah, for example, I feel like I want to beat this brother up. Do I get punished because I felt like that? SubhanAllah. So jealousy has been specified that to be a harmful action. And the most person that jealousy harms is the person himself. The one who is committing the jealousy. The one who is committing the hasad. Yaqub alayhi salam, look at the father, ya akhwan. I will finish with this. There's a lot of lessons and probably you're going to take another week in this ayah. Yaqub alayhi salam, He doesn't want to have any problems at home, no fitna in the house. He knows all his children. So he told him, you know, do not tell your brothers about your dream. You know, they're going to plot against you. And as if Yusuf said, do not tell your brothers about your dream. He said, why? As if there's a limada. Why? Because they're going to plot against you. Then as if he asked again, why? Limada? لِأَنَّ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ Because the shaitan is adu. And I will finish with this, ya akhwan. When you, look at another lesson here, very interesting lesson. When you blame yourself about doing something, you do not blame the shaitan. We always blame the shaitan, right? When we do something wrong, oh, brother, it was the shaitan. No. This here comes and teaches us that when you are talking to somebody about their sin, you, from the akhlaq and the etiquette of the Muslim, you give them, you know what? It was not you, it was the shaitan. You know, you did something wrong, but it was the shaitan. But when it comes to yourself, you blame yourself. You don't blame the shaitan. When you do something wrong, you blame yourself. What is the dalil in Surah Yusuf? Get the chocolate. Where's the dalil? Allahu Akbar. See, when the woman of the Aziz admitted that she made a mistake, she did not say, the shaitan made me do this. She said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ She blamed herself. But when he saw his brothers at the end, right? They committed a major sin by doing what they did to his brother. Even though he knows that they are the ones who threw him in the well, what did he say? نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنَنَا Allahu Akbar. Look at the akhlaq. The shaitan came between us, even though he knows they did it. So similarly here, the father is giving an excuse in order not to let his son feel that your brothers are very bad. Is this the shaitan who did this to them? So when you are talking about somebody else, give them room to feel good. You know what? It is the shaitan. But when you talk about your own mistakes, you blame yourself. This is a lesson from this ayah, subhanAllah. We have a few more lessons about this ayah, inshallah. Looks like I don't want to keep you longer, inshallah. So you can go and spend some time with your spouses and communicate. This is very healthy for your marriage, inshallah. And I want to remind you, please, do not forget the Aqsa in your dua. Please, make a lot of dua. Our brothers, this is not their masjid only. This is our masjid. This is our masjid. And it's our duty, all of us, to defend this masjid. Since we can't do much, let's make dua for them that Allah will give them victory. Allah will help us give them victory, inshallah, in every aspect that we can, inshallah. And don't forget, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow is Jumu'ah. Come and pray Fajr in Jama'ah, 5:45, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a beautiful salat in Jama'ah, in the Aqsa. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
الفرق.